Good morning. The Lord's blessings be with you. Would you please allow me to pray? Then we'll start to our session. Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy, for your love for us, for your people. You have baptized us into your name. You have given us an identity that no one can take away. Through this presentation, through this short session, we pray that you will remind us that we are not defined by our failures or success. We are defined by the work of your Son, Jesus Christ. And may this truth liberate each one of us every step of the way until we come and see you face to face. In Christ, amen. Hey, thank you so much for being here. Our topic today is, why is sharing Jesus with others so hard but necessary? So we'll break it down this way. I'll give a quick intro of my ministry and my life and my upbringing. And then right after that, we'll talk about why is it really, really hard to share Jesus? Or why does it even feel that it is hard? And part of that is I really need your help. So we'll pick three people around you and I have two questions and we'll take some time to do discussion within the group that you're sitting at. And after 5 minutes or 3-4 minutes, I'll just stop us and I'd love to hear a message from you in why is it so hard or why do you feel it is really hard to share Jesus with others. I'm coming with a really, really humble heart in this because I don't know why is it hard. I've been sharing Jesus for the last 11 years of my life, specifically as a person in ministry. But before that, even when I was a kid, I grew up in the church. I still don't know why it feels so hard. But it's getting really, really hard and harder and harder and harder in the culture we live in. So I want to learn from you as much as I can share something with you. And at the end, we'll talk about why is it necessary and what are the 5 things maybe you and I can grow in as we share Jesus with others. So to start with, my name is Dawit Bokri. The word Dawit means David. I was born and raised in a country called Eritrea. It's located in the east part of Africa, in the eastern corner of Africa, right next to Ethiopia or Sudan. I was born and raised in a Lutheran family. My grandparents actually heard the gospel from a Swedish missionary 150 years ago. So my whole entire family grew up in the faith. My parents were very, very involved in the church. I moved to the States when I was 14 years old. That was 15 years ago. Yeah, that was 15 years ago. I lived in Boston, lived in Houston, Texas, and now I live in San Francisco, 20 minutes east of San Francisco. When I came to the States, of course, it was really, really hard and cultural shock, and I didn't speak the language, and I ended up going to this super white church in downtown Boston. I was the only kid that was from Africa or an only person from Africa. Walked in, and I hugged people. But the church was very German, really, really upper middle class. No one really hugged, so I just kind of like, oh, you know, just pulled back, took my bulletin, been there for 2 years, loved the people, loved the pastor. They were really wonderful to me. I didn't understand anything they said, but I just felt like, woo, they said Jesus. I knew that. Like every time they say Holy Spirit, oh, the Spirit is mentioned, you know. After a while, I was able to understand the language, comprehend it a little bit, speak it a little bit. So whatever I'm saying, if you understand it, good. If you don't, like, I'll do it again and again. Hopefully, you'll get. What, do you understand me now already? Is that cool? All right. My first language is called Tigrinya. I speak other languages that are spoken in the eastern continent of Africa. Again, I'm a lead pastor. I'm a pastor at a church called Good Shepherd Hayward. It's located 20 minutes east of San Francisco. So if you are in the East Bay or San Francisco, please find me. We'll hug you when you come to church. And we'll give you coffee and some donuts and all that good stuff. So I'm a senior pastor there. I'm also a director of mission for an organization called Link, but specifically for the one that is located in the Bay Area. I also work for Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, as an SRA, which is Student Recruiting Ambassador. So if you want to be a pastor at Deaconess, I'd love to come by your side, get to know you a little bit, and help you walk through it. So I have 3 jobs. This is the perfect email if you want to reach out to me. I'd love to hear from you and learn from you as well. Or you can just find me on Instagram. This is my bride, 12 years, been married. My wife, her name is Saron. She looks like me color skin-wise, but she was born and raised in Germany. So how Lutheran am I, bro? Like real Lutheran. She was born and raised in Frankfurt, Germany. We got married in Frankfurt, Germany. Her folks live there, and that's where they work at. We've been married for 12 years. This is my close staff, my associate pastor, Josh Woodrow, Silas Perez, Cepho, and Eden. This is my team. This is who the people I work with, I hang out with majority of my time. These are the people that occupy my office. For my other job, Link, this is my other team that we work with and plan stuff in and the whole things that we're doing in the Bay Area. All right, so back to the topic that we are really trying to talk about. Why is it really, really hard to talk about Jesus with others? We all have a deep desire to share about Jesus. We're all baptized believers of who Jesus is and what God has done through him. But we all struggle to share the faith with others. And it is critical and it is really important, though, to share Jesus with others. So the topic is, we're going to talk about why it feels so hard, but why is it so necessary for you and I to share the gospel? We can't just ignore the fact that it is really important, but also we cannot ignore the fact that it is also hard. So we're going to address it. We're going to be humble in the presence of God, the God who designed us, formed us, saved us, and redeemed us by the work of his son Jesus. We'll come to him because he is the one that actually shared the gospel the first time to all of us. He is the great missionary. He's the first one that is ahead of us sharing the gospel, encouraging the saints. He is the one that actually brought himself to us. And he is the one that sent us to be faithful missionaries for what he had done through the work of Jesus. So if he is the one that is the beginning and the end, if he is the Alpha and Omega, if he is the author of our life, if he is the one that saved us and sent us out, we'll come to him, right? When things are hard, we go to him. And we say, Lord, why does this feel so hard? Why is it challenging? Part of it is I wanted to share part of my experience in sharing the gospel. So I've been hanging out with people from different walks of life. But before that, I wanted to share this video with you. That's a tiny reflection of our church, and it makes sense with my story. I've had the opportunity to share the gospel with people who walk from different parts of the world, people who live in a different styles of life. Our church worships in 15, we worship with people from 15 different ethnic groups, people that came from different parts of the world. We also worship in my native language on a different service, but in our English service, it's really, really diverse. People who are like born and raised LCMS, grew up in Wisconsin, moved to California. All they know is like just the Lutheran faith, and their conception of the Christian faith is built and grown in an environment that was suitable for it. And they moved to the Bay Area, and then they got to hang out with people that came from different parts of the world that have never heard the word even Lutheran, let alone believe in the confessions of the Lutheran church and worship. There's some people that are couples that I hang out with that are like doctors and who are very, very educated, very successful. They immigrated to the U.S. and they actually overachieve whatever dreams that their parents had. Some families that have kids that have come from different parts of the world and different parts of the country. I hang out, this is a little bragging with President Harrison. I get to worship with people that are also exceptionally powerful, exceptionally influential, people that are blessing the church body in different capacity. Ladies that are really, really, really involved in the mission of God, people that actually empower others by making food and also by sharing the gospel to those who are lost. Young people that are from different upbringings of life who looks cool, that have good hairstyle, good glasses, and all that. And then, okay, this is my predecessor, Pastor Gary Moore, one of my favorite guys. We have the same hat, like we try to buy the same hat every like year. We get to hang out and grab beer and hang out and spend some time with him. I love him to death. And then I get to hang out with kids that love to make selfies and make silly faces. All these people, and these people I've never even met before, and we took a picture together. I still don't remember their names, and they probably don't know who I am, but they're on my list. And family that I go visit and check out and see if everyone is doing well. Why is sharing Jesus with others so hard? Even though we do get to hang out with people that look different than us, people this generation is really, really capable at actually sharing Jesus with so many, so many people because we are able to actually hang out with people that are different than us. But when it comes to sharing Jesus, then it gets a little bit critical. It gets a little bit hard. And I have done it for the last 11 years and still doesn't get easy. I still feel
anxious and worrying. I wonder what they're going to say. I wonder how they're going to respond to me. I don't want to fail. I like this kind of environments where people clap and then say, you're doing a good job, even though if I'm really ruining it. Right? You don't want to face somebody and then be like, dude, you cuckoo. That's not what the truth is. That's not, Jesus didn't rise from the dead. I don't want to face that. So I struggle with that. But there's some people that I come across and I say, oh my gosh, I want to share Jesus with them because it is really, really important. And you and I know sharing Jesus with others is not trying to make the Lutheran church bigger than any other institution in the world. We're not trying to get rich out of people believing in Jesus. Some of the people that believe in Jesus probably will never give to the church financially. Sharing Jesus with others is critical and necessary, and we're going to talk about it down the way. But first, hey, can you pick like three people around you and try to answer this question? Why is sharing about Jesus with others such a weird thing to do? Let's roll back. So here's what we're going to do. Part of it is like we have to model to each other and how to listen to one another. So I wanted to listen genuinely, not for the sake of the session, but I really, really, really want to understand. I wish I could actually have coffee with each one of you and listen to you today. It would give me a joy. Probably you can't tell, but I'm super extrovert, right? Like I love to just kick it with people. I don't really get tired. My wife is very introvert, not very introvert, kind of introvert. If she hangs out with people like 2 days in a row, the next day she's like, dude, let's close the house. I need me time. But I grew up in East Africa, y'all. Like, we grew up with, like, 8 people in one room. So I'm like, what privacy? Just hang out, right? So I wish I could do that with all of you. But I really want to learn, and I think other people around here want to learn from you and why you think this question is important and why is it weird to do. So the struggle that we have in our culture is we cannot clearly identify. One of them is that Christianity does not mean Republican, right? That does not mean Republican or Democrat, for that matter. Our faith has nothing to do with our political party that just started maybe 200 years ago. Our faith is a faith of the beginning. Our God is Alpha and Omega. And other struggles is how we feel. How are we going to feel once people retaliate, when people push back? Here, we have a second one, and we'll do another discussion. And those of you who didn't get a chance to say anything, I'd love to hear from you as well. But before that, I wanted to just remind you who you are. And you probably know this, and you've heard it a million times, but that's the gospel. The gospel is something that we need to hear over and over again. So this is who you are. Who you are is a creation of God, made by the hand of God, baptized into the name of God. God sent his son for your own sake and for the sake of the world. He took all your sins upon himself, and he has given you his righteousness, which we call it the greatest exchange. God took what belongs to us, sin and death, and he has given us righteousness and life. And you are known by God to a point where the amount of hair in your head is known. Yo, I have no hair. So I think I'm pretty easy for God to know who I am. But you, with a lot of hair, God knows how many hairs there is in your body or in your head. You are known by him to a point that God is closer to you than the oxygen you breathe. And you are known by him. When a time comes, when death comes, and when you and I are buried 6 foot underground, we may not be able to hear anybody else's noise, but we'll hear the message of Jesus calling us to rise back up again. When I was 11 years old, there was a war in our neighboring country, an air force of the neighboring country actually penetrated the defense system in the where we live, so it actually bombed our city. And I was a kid. I was really scared. So my parents were like, go underneath the bed. Somehow like the bed gonna protect us from like an F-18, right? So we were there. We're like, whoa, you know? And then we look at my dad and I'm like, Dad, what's gonna happen, you know? Really, really terrified. I was like 11. My dad is like, it's okay. The Lord will raise us from the dead. I'm like, not that comforting.
you couldn't find something else to say, like, it's going to be okay, we're not going to be, no. But the older I've gotten, man, I realize, whatever happened to me, my Lord will raise me. Whatever happened to you, even death cannot separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. So that's who you are. The reason why I wanted to remind you is every time we talk about this, two things you can, one is you can feel guilt, right? You probably did, you had a chance to share the gospel with people and you didn't. So this is not a session for you to feel guilty and then get out and cry and repent. That's not the plan. The plan is for you to know who you are and what you're capable of. And second thing that we feel is sometimes we feel under a lot of pressure and we want to do it out of obligation. But no, you are free not to do it. Jesus died for you without expecting anything from you. But you have so much to offer, so many lives you can bless. So why keep quiet? Why not share? So I just want to remind you, this is not a message of guilt. And second, you're not obligated, you're not forced, but you are called. Because Jesus loves you so much, he freed you. And you can live your life not sharing Jesus and not sharing the gospel with others. But just think about the people that could be blessed by you. You are a treasure. God has placed himself in you. Right? Yo, second question. For this one, you can pick three or more people if you want. But if you want to move around, feel free, because we got 5 minutes on this one. Not four, five. All right. So, similar, but a little bit different. Why is sharing your faith such an uncomfortable topic? So let's just talk about the uncomfortable part of it, right? What the last statement was is a summary of what we all said. What you're feeling is natural, because Jesus is dear to your heart. And anything that is really close to your heart is really, really hard to share it, because there's a lot of risk that comes with it. So our tendency is we pray for less fear. Lord, I want to fear less. I want to be courageous. I wanted to challenge you before I move on. Instead of praying for less fear, what if we pray for more love? The opposite of love is fear in the scripture. What Jesus did for you and I is that he showed us the love of God for us and what we mean to him and how he sees us. And regardless of your failure or your success will never define you. Jesus says, I am the one that defines you. That love is the one that actually removes the fear that is in us. Opposite of love in the scripture, not hate, but fear. So instead of keep praying about less fear, let us keep praying and seeking the word of God and the community of God and the gifts of God, that we may experience the love of God even more. Because things that are dear in our heart, they're really, really scary to share. Yet, the more love is poured over us, it gets to a point where you cannot help it. And when we're not able to help it, we share it. This is Tara. Her dad is from Jamaica. Her mom, she's a second generation Swedish. They met in California. Of course, that's California, right? She was born and raised in New Mexico until she was like 13. Moved to the state of California. She went to school in UCLA, I think, and she ended up getting hired by Google. Very, very smart gal. She has a huge influence in her work capacity. A friend of mine, I invited her over to church, and she says, hey, one of my best friends, she's going to come with me because we're going to hang out after church anyway. She's going to come, but I just want you to know, she doesn't believe. So is that cool? I'm like, totally. She can come to church. So she came to church on Sunday, and then when we finish, you know, I just kind of get outside and hug everybody. And I was like, hey, I'm so glad you're here. And she's like, ooh, dude, you're like my age. I'm like, yeah. And she's like, you're pretty serious about this. Well, yeah. She's like, wow, cool. I just
didn't see people our age are serious about the faith. She's like, you're preaching with passion. And I'm like, well, I'm really passionate about it. I was like, hey, you wanna have a coffee sometime? Anytime. You name the place, I'll come. We'll grab a coffee. So we did. Grab a coffee and we talked about the faith. I was more listening to a lot of the things that she grew up with, the things that she thinks about the faith, the things that she actually experienced in life, the good and the bad, the hurt. So we did a lot of laughter and we cry several times. By the way, I'm a crier too. Nowadays, that's not how I was. I think the older you get, you just kind of like, you ball out. I think that's how it is. Anyway, we did all that. We talked about her family, and after a while, we talked about Jesus. So I said, we're not going to talk about the Lutheran church, and I'm not here to talk to you about my church. I'm not here to talk to you about me. I want to talk to you about one specific person. So we talked about Jesus. Long story short, it's not that my compelling argument was amazing. It's not that I had all the answers in the world. It's not that I wasn't scared to talk about Jesus like y'all feel. But by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the revealed word of God, she came to faith. She got baptized on this day. We actually ended up going to the ocean. Fun fact, I had no idea oceans actually have time that they go and come. Some of you are not laughing. You're like, what are you talking about? Y'all like me. Those who are laughing, they know what I'm talking about. I did not check that. So I called the church. Yo, we got baptism this Saturday. We're going to do it by the ocean. By the beach. Let's go. This time, 9 a.m. So one of my former members, he actually is in Japan with the U.S. Navy. He called me in the morning. He's like, Dawi, did you check the time? I'm like, what time? He's like, the tide, you know, when it goes and when it comes. I'm like, man, Americans too complicated about a lot of things. Who told you where the water goes and when the water comes? He's like, it's a known fact, Dawi. And I'm like, what? So we ended up going there. Look where the water is. The water is like 5 miles away. But the baptism was called. People were there and the things were read. We talked about her faith, and we talked about how she came to know Jesus. I walked all the way to the water, and we did baptism there. She now lives in Hawaii. Anybody from Hawaii? All the way in the back. I got to connect you with my girl. She's in Hawaii. Another brother. Just quick story. Bradley, born and raised in San Francisco. Super San Franciscan. Mom and dad, physicians, very, very educated, never believed in the faith. His girlfriend brought him to church. We were hanging out. And then after a while, we had a DCE that she moved now. Her name is Abby. They decided to hang out together, and we talked about the faith, and her girlfriend and her and Bradley, they met every Saturday for like 8 months, listening to Bradley, all his questions. Some of the questions, Abby, our DC, should be like, man, I don't know how to answer them. I'm like, well, we don't really have all the answers in the world. But after a lot of listening, a lot of conversation, Bradley believed this was the day of his baptism in our church. Many of you probably are feeling, well, you seem to be a capable guy because I have a microphone, but I'm speaking in front of Christians, and it's easy to talk to Christians. You're like my brothers and sisters. Even though I don't know you by name, you are siblings to me. The Lord has given me you as much as he gave you me. Is that right? Understood? Isn't it what Peter asked, right? He's like, what do we gain by believing in you? He says, not only the things that I have prepared for you in heaven, but here on earth, hundredfold of blessing. You know what? One thing that blesses me, I can call to any state in the country and make a phone call, and I would have at least one person that will say, Dawi, you can crash on my sofa today. And those people don't look the same like me. They probably have no relationship to me. But those are my brothers and my sisters. And I want you to know, if you ended up in San Francisco and you want to crash, call me. Because you're my siblings. That's why I'm comfortable to speak with you today. It's easy. Because we are brothers and sisters in the faith. But it's really hard in a combative environment to speak about Jesus. And to talk about Jesus. And I want to leave you with a few things today. Something that not going to completely fix our fear. The only way our fear can be fixed is by the love of Jesus So keep going to the love of Christ. As you take the body and the blood of our Lord, when you come to the front of the church, when you're receiving his body and blood, know this, Christ has given himself for you to eat, to taste and see how good he is, but also for you to experience his mercy and forgiveness, not only in your head, not only in your ears, but in your whole entire body, your cells and your bones, to know that God has given himself for you. And when you walk back, remember, you've been loved beyond your imagination, and you have been sent with enormous amount of purpose. You're not just nobody. You are somebody because God has given himself for you. We're not praying for less fear, but we're praying for more love. For Jesus' love to compel us to tear out and cry and pray for those who are lost, but to love and actually share the message of the gospel. Here's why it is necessary. Look at Romans chapter 10 and read this with me. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You call the name of the Lord and you will be saved. But listen. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So he's saying, then how are they supposed to hear? Your feet are beautiful. You probably didn't do a pedicure today, but your feet are beautiful because you are sent by God to share the message of the gospel. You have a beautiful feet. Just look at your feet right now, please, real quick. Just look down at your feet. You have a beautiful feet. You've been sent by the church on the day of your baptism through the work of Christ for you to share the gospel. So quick things, and then we're going to shut this down. One, when you talk to people, especially at a personal level. Oh, listen well. Listen well. Listening is hard. And meet people where they are. So, listening takes a lot of energy. So, drink coffee. Red Bull, if you have to. Well, it's not that healthy. But try whatever you need. Or go to sleep early. Listen well. Because people want to be heard. And people want to say something. If you are in a conversation that is really, really engaging and you really don't know how to keep that conversation going, if you want to learn how to grow, download this app. It's called Question in a Box. This app is amazing. It has an ability to actually give you some things to say, some things to ask that can allow you to be able to be in a really, really intense conversation with people that is fruitful, that can allow you to listen more, that can allow you to ask questions that are good and helpful. Second, if you didn't get it yet, it's called questionsinabox.com. Consider your cultural context. Remember, we all come from a cultural context. It's not like, you know, Americans, we have a tendency sometimes, we'd be like, all cultures. Well, we have a culture of our own. Not only nationally, but we have a culture of a state. We have a culture of a city. We have a culture of our own families. Be ready to learn something new about the gospel yourself. So keep learning the faith. That was four, sorry. Finally, keep sharing the gospel with other Christians too. Share the gospel with me too. So let me do that and pray. Close your eyes and listen to the gospel. Here's the gospel. Jesus loves you beyond your imagination. And he sends you with enormous amount of purpose, with a beautiful feet to share the message. Lord, we thank you. We love you. Compel our hearts through the love of your Son that we may share what you've done to those who do not know you so they may gain as well as much as we gain. Lead us not to only pray for less fear, but that we may pray for more love from you, that your true love will continuously pull us and push us to what you have intended for us to do here on earth. And we pray this in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Hey, love you guys. Thank you so much for your patience. Have a good day.